To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
You're ready to move up.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2, RDJ, the voice of the inner Batmobile-fueled West. My name is Lee Stark, and the guy who's occasionally answering but is having some technical difficulties right now, he'll be with us in just a minute, is Gary Stark. Dad, why don't you yell something in the background?
Something in the background.
That'll work.
There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, we were just having a problem with one of the connections on the control panel here, so I've just bypassed.
It just figures, you know, because this is our live episode of the Gadget Grill, complete with our studio audience, which is... Where are they?
They're somewhere. Just hang on.
You know what it is? It's people who are listening to the Gadget Grill. That's our live audience.
I will just see if I can find
them. Oh, God, really? You're going to dig through there and look for applause, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, please don't do it. Please don't do it. Can we just start the show instead of looking for more hammy canned laughter?
No, we can't.
Oh, God. This is not your show.
Oh, dear. Oh, well.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Best not think about it. Because on tonight's show, well, I don't know what we're talking about because I didn't read the brief. What?
Oh, didn't you?
That took you so long.
Yeah,
why don't you just put it on your desktop? Wouldn't that be easier?
No, because that doesn't run through the console.
Look, I don't care, okay? They don't care.
Good evening and welcome to the Gadget Grill.
Oh, good Lord.
Now that we have everything sort of sorted out.
Yeah, sure. What's on tonight's show, Dad?
Well, tonight's show, we are talking to Kevin Pashuk from... Kevin Pashuk from Right Now Technologies about the Obama for President campaign a couple of years ago.
It was actually this weekend
that they started, and we're going to listen to the technology that they used, how they sorted it out, and how they went from a couple of thousand users to, at the end of the campaign, they had over 2 million people using the system.
So is this a social media show?
This is, it's to do with social media, but it goes a little bit
beyond. Why couldn't you say that? What the hell?
And we're going to be talking, I think, about... probably about this little box here. I'll just hold it up to the microphone so
everyone can see the new ViewSonic portable. It's not really portable. It's a tiny version of a computer that literally is about... Actually, it's slightly smaller than Nintendo Wii.
It is tiny, but it is quite effective.
We're talking about that, and I also bring out the ViewSonic thing I've been playing with, which is a portable media player. That basically translates to iPod.
But not. More than the iPod does.
And a bit less in some ways as well.
Yeah.
We've also got a whole bunch of news, I'm sure, at least. I'm pulling up my news gradually. You've got... What is with you and paper? I mean, seriously, we run a technology radio show, and here you are circumventing
because I bring one computer in, and I normally bring in just one computer, and I use that to run the
show. Why don't you do it on your iPhone? Your iPhone. You know, the thing that's supposed to create a paperless
society. Because
that would
be too hard to read it off.
What about bringing a spare computer?
Because then I've got to carry it, and that gets heavy.
What about bringing a robot?
That's an idea.
What about bringing a different gadget gorilla?
Yeah, I could bring a different gadget. We could bring the gadget gorilla that you've got in your bedroom in.
What would we feed it?
Segway. We could feed it, hang on, before we do, we could actually feed it bananas, because bananas have been in the news this week.
No, not talking the news yet.
I know, but bananas have been in the news. You want to feed the gorilla tuna fish, do you?
I'd rather feed it Emiliano Torini's tuna fish, which is the first song we're playing. God, this show's off to a terrible start. Thanks, Dad.
So what's new?
Terrible, more terrible than normal. This is Emiliano Torini with tuna fish. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the inner west, and happy Hanukkah-ish. Happy Hanukkah-ish?
Happy, that'll do. Near enough for
Happy
Jess.
Happy Hanukkah. If you're listening to this on a menorah, there's something seriously wrong with you, because menorahs are candlesticks, basically, that hold candles.
But you could plug it in as an antenna, couldn't you?
I'm not
you?
Really sure you could. I mean, you could have an antenna that's on fire, basically.
Yeah, that could be fun. Well, definitely. We're such a hot show, you know.
Yeah.
Did you see the ratings the other day?
Were they hot?
They were hot.
Wow.
They were really hot.
If you're listening to this on a radio, good for you. Hopefully you're not listening to it with a menorah attached to your radio when it's setting fire to your home. If not, why don't you try the safer option of logging in at www.radio2rdj.com and hit up our radio stream where you can listen to this without the risk of burning down your home, unless you take our sexy accents and rub them up against the house and I'm not going to go there.
Or you could shoot us an email.
You could. When you can visit our website to find that out at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
There you go. It is time for the news here on the Gadget Grill. Do you want to start or shall I start?
You need to start.
I will start. Okay. You remember Spinvox that Telstra have been using for a while and Skype?
What is it?
That's the voice-to-text messaging system where you get an email of your voice messages.
Yes, of course, yes.
Optus have now introduced the service as well.
I thought Optus had it in the first place.
No, Telstra had it for a while and now Optus have introduced it as well. But also what's interesting is there's a little bit of a controversy.
A controversy? I like controversy.
Yes, because apparently some people are saying that Spinvox actually has teams of people doing manual translation of the voice to text.
Didn't I tell you when it first came out, when we first did that interview with them, we did an interview with them, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Didn't I tell you that while we were testing that, I had a feeling...
With Skype, we did the interview.
With Skype. Didn't I tell you when we were testing that I had a feeling that was what was happening because of the way it was occurring? Did I not say that?
That's right. They admit that they have people there to resolve difficult words if there's something that's in contention, but the rumours that are going around at the moment is they have teams of people that are doing the whole lot of the translation. That would be quite an intensive sort of a task.
But then there's also the problem of privacy concerns, isn't there?
Well, that's one issue that comes up, and of course it comes through very quickly. I don't know how you could do it that quickly and convert it to actually written
text. It
couldn't
be that hard. I mean, you just listen to it and you type it up.
It shouldn't be that hard, but it still would take some time.
This week, Amazon have started a program called Disc Plus, and this doesn't affect us here yet, obviously, but I'm sure someone, like, I don't know, maybe Video Easy or something like Blockbuster would pick up this program and do something similar to it. This is called Disc Plus. The idea is when you buy a Blu-ray or a DVD, you get a VOD with it. That sounds a bit like an STD, a VOD, doesn't it?
It does.
You get a VOD with it. No, you get a free VOD, which is Video On Demand, so that means when you buy your Blu-ray and you're waiting for it to come, you can watch it over the web.
Right.
But it's only limited time offer, apparently, and it only works for about 300 movies. So while it's a really cool idea, and while it only works in America and requires, you know, different, and the DVD's not really in high def, and it's like, it's a cool idea. It's just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Internode. They've dropped their old 256 and 512K broadband plans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're delivering a minimum now of 1,500 kilobits per second to new customers.
Are we
at
that point now where that's what we've become? We are basically only doing?
Basically, yeah. Telstra have dropped their low-speed plans as well. So and Telstra and Internode both now minimum speed is 1,500 kilobits. So so these things are starting to go by the wayside.
Mm. The rumours on the Apple replacement or the Apple Kindle competitor are also
the Apple tablet, yes.
The Apple tablet and the Apple Kindle are fueling up pretty quickly at the moment. It's rumoured that Foxconn, one of the motherboard companies, have already started taking an order for the next version of what Apple are planning. And there are rumours flying fast and heavy that this thing will come out in early 2010.
I'm hearing April at the Mac conference.
Yeah,
then.
Which is, everyone's been waiting for this thing. They've been trying to peg it, trying to find the right time, and Apple have apparently been chopping it around to different people. But it's all just rumour. It's a shame they couldn't bring it out in time for Christmas.
Well, in fact, I've heard that it's true.
What?
It's true that it's a rumour.
Oh, it's true that it's a rumour?
Yes.
Go you. Yes. Go you, Dan.
Yes. And what does it cost to produce some of these gadgets that we enjoy?
Oh, you know, 25 cents.
How much does an Apple iPhone 3GS cost to make?
In Australian dollars or US dollars?
US dollars.
Probably about $30.
180.
Wow, it's more expensive than I thought.
Palm Pre.
That's the Palm mobile phone. Probably about $220.
137.
That's less. No wonder it's doing poorly.
Kindle.
About 20 cents, roughly.
186.
Okay.
Storm? BlackBerry Storm?
BlackBerry Storm. Well, that thing is a piece of junk. The Storm 1 or the Storm 2?
It just says BlackBerry Storm.
Okay, I'm assuming it's Storm 1. Storm 1, I would say you'd have to pay me to produce it.
$203.
Okay.
Touch. iPod Touch. First generation.
First generation. $45.
$147 for the 8 gig, $179 for the 16.
Okay.
Xbox 360. Retails for $399.
Okay, I don't know.
Cost of components, $470.
So they lose money
they
on it.
They take a loss on it because they're hoping to get the long-term gain.
Well, no, actually, that's not the reason they take a loss on it. They take a loss on it because they know the software is going to sell and you can't really pirate it. However, right. The PlayStation 3 has a different side of things.
Well, that's the next one that I've got here.
Yeah. I knew you were heading to that.
Yeah. Original price...
I thought you were just testing my skills.
No. Original price is $599 US for the 60 gig,
mm-hmm.
$499 for the 20 gig. How much does it cost to make the 60 gig?
It's about $800, isn't it?
You're right, $840. Yeah. $805 for the 20. So
it's something Sony have been struggling with for a while, especially when they went and revamped the entire line. They're trying to do a better job of it, but the problem is it's too expensive for a console. At the moment, it used to be $700-$800 for it. Now it's $500. That's a better deal, but not by much.
That's right.
And the software is still hideously
expensive.
You've got
to wonder about why it's so expensive to make, haven't you?
Well, it's the Blu-ray drive. You don't have to wonder. It's the Blu-ray drive.
Yeah, the Blu-ray drives are getting cheaper and cheaper too, though.
Yes, but no.
Anyhow. Google Phone.
The new one that's been handed to employees. It's made by Google.
And it is called the Nexus One.
Yes.
Will be sold by Google directly. Unlocked. Made by HTC. Around about $500 US is going to be the cost. GSM, designed for T-Mobile 3G.
GSM designed for 3G?
Designed for T-Mobile 3G.
But it's GSM.
But it's GSM.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Panasonic owns Sanyo now.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
That's going to be interesting.
Isn't it? Because Sanyo produced some very cheap TVs. They also produce some very cool video cameras from time to time. You know, and now Panasonic owned them.
Right.
And they bought them for the price of 404 billion yen.
Okay.
Which roughly means 4.6 billion US dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
ACMA. Are going to be allowing...
ACMA? The Australian Communications Media Authority?
That's the one.
Ah.
They're proposing new spectrum rules that are going to let airlines offer mobile phone services in flight. But they're only going to allow you to do SMS and GPRS data.
I don't think that's a problem with that. I'm actually quite cool with that. You give another story, because my minds are taking ages to load.
Okay, well, the last story that I've got is about the French Army.
The French Army.
Which has its own version.
The silly
custom,
French?
That's got their own custom version of Thunderbird called Trusted Bird.
Huh?
And it's got all sorts of different extra security features built in because they require for their internal use extra
security.
Why?
Why do they require?
Because this is the military.
Oh, okay.
And it is, you can actually download it suitable for PCs and for Linux systems.
Okay, last story for me would be Simon Schuster, the book company. They're apparently imposing a 4-month delay on digital versions of their major upcoming book releases. It's one of those things where you go, that doesn't really work for the whole ebook thing. Of course, they don't make anywhere near the amount of money out of ebooks as they do with regular books.
Of course not.
But it's really kind of problematic when companies are delaying things like that. A few other companies gotten in and done stuff like that as well. And one final thing, actually. A new study has found that Americans, and what Australians do, consume 34 gigabytes of information a day. That includes your TV, your radio, your phone, computer games. Computer games are information, believe it or not.
34
gigabytes?
Even,
yeah, the radio.
Each Australian or just in total?
That's American. Oh.
That sounds too... If it's for per person, that sounds too light. If it's... the country in total. Sorry, if it's per person, it's too heavy. If it's if it's for the country, it's too light. That's not right.
They're saying it's 3.6 zettabytes or 3.6 billion trillion bytes of information per year, roughly. So
I'm 34. Not sure about those numbers.
Anyway, so that's the news this week. It's been pretty light. It starts to get lighter as we get into Christmas time.
As we get into what time?
Christmas time.
What time?
Hanukkah time, because this is Bare Naked Ladies with 1 week, the old song, and I have a little dreidel. I don't. I have a big dreidel, a huge dreidel. See what I'm alluring to there?
1 week since you looked
looting.
At me. Cocked your hand to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room
I realize it's on my fault, but couldn't tell you yesterday. You've forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hope Dynamo wants to hoodwink as I make you stop think. You think you're looking at Aquaman and some fish to the dish, although I like the chalice, who sound like the sushi. Never touch a frying pan.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ. And right now we're going to get into our feature because I'm all dreidled out.
Okay, the feature tonight is a talk on an interview with Kevin Paschuk from Right Now Technologies.
But tell me about this because I have no idea what the hell you did this for.
Okay, well, I thought it would be interesting for us to find out about the...
You thought? Do I pay you to think? I don't pay you at all.
I thought it would be interesting for our listener to hear about the... Obama for Clinton campaign and how it was organized.
Obama for Clinton. Obama raising for money to get Obama turned into Clinton.
Yes, Obama for Tiger? No. Obama for President, yeah. They had a social networking environment set up where people could ask questions of the Obama presidential campaign. And so it was all done in the cloud.
So it was done over our heads in the web.
That's right.
Okay.
And they started off with just a couple of thousand users exactly 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time the election came around, they had more than 2 million people as members of
their
site.
So it's safe to say that the internet played a huge role in Obama's campaign.
It played a huge role. They used this for raising money, all sorts of things. Let's have a listen to what Kevin has to say.
This is a long interview, people.
My title is Vice President, Public Sector, and I'm responsible for our United States, U.S., North America public sector, which is all of government, so federal civilian government, Department of Defense. I have responsibility for our higher education vertical, as well as our state and local marketplace.
That sounds like it's a rather heavy sort of set of responsibilities, Kevin. You're dealing with a lot of very high-powered people. It sounds like it might keep you just a little bit busy.
Yes, busy all the time. In fact, it's a pretty important segment of our business. At any given time, we're 15 to 20% of the contribution, and we are very dedicated to the government space. In fact, just this year, we launched two key initiatives. One is what we call our government cloud. So it's a dedicated cloud for our federal government customers. And then our second launching or offering in the hosting area is Defense Cloud, which is partnered with one of the U.S. defense agencies to run our infrastructure, our software within the military network. So yeah, quite a heavy responsibility, and government is a important aspect of our business.
Okay, now, not strictly government, but certainly related to government. My understanding is that you were also involved in the Obama for President campaign. Can you tell me a little bit about that, please, Kevin?
Yeah, sure. So, absolutely. The Obama team had utilized the Right Now Technology solution to manage the whole campaign. And essentially, at the highest level, they used us for contact management, outreach, email management, so to address the inbound email inquiries they were getting, and of course the case management. So usually when you have a donor, right, someone that wants to donate, you kind of open it up and as a case within our tool, and then all of this kind of was based on our SaaS, our software as a service offering, and our knowledge foundation.
You mentioned one term that may not be familiar to some of our listeners. I think we can all figure out what email is, and case management is pretty self-explanatory as well. What's outreach, though, please?
Outreach. So it's the term I use, and also the U.S. government uses for marketing. So it's the ability to basically outbound, you know, proactively reach out, market to the citizens in this case, or the warfighter if they're in defense. On specific needs, and in the Obama's case, right, it's like he wants donations, and so he was able to pinpoint specific potential people that would contribute to the campaign based on profiles, based on where they stood on specific topics or issues, And so that's how we used our contact management solution and outreach solution kind of all combined together.
I would imagine that with the popularity and the way that Obama was elected, this would have been quite a mammoth undertaking. There would have been quite a bit of logistics involved, and that to me suggests that it's going to be a rather big effort on your part, and with a rather big effort and a lot of logistics, that's also going to introduce a few headaches. Can you explain to me a little bit about some of the headaches that you encountered, some of the unexpected issues that you found, and just how did you get it all to hang together?
Right, sure. Fair question. So what may surprise you is there wasn't much headaches, and I say that in relation to being that I normally handle the government, and there's a lot of policy and procedures that you have to go through. And being that this was a campaign, none of the rules and regulations in the government kind of pertained in this situation. And so coupled with the value of software as a service or cloud computing, right, so we manage the full infrastructure for them. And surprisingly enough, or may not surprise you, it didn't surprise us, 7 days, right, it took us from contract to basically full production, what Obama dubbed as the Answer Center.
Right.
And so that's what the name of our solution was the Answer Center for him. So from the time we got the contract to the time it went live was 7 days. And this was only because of the cloud computing model.
That's actually very impressive. 7 days to get something that I'd imagine was very big and quite resource intensive. That is very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, I'd like to say it was actually his first cloud project. So today, after he's been elected, he hired a new CIO, a federal CIO for all the government, and which is kind of a new position. And one of the five key things that the new CIO is chartered with is actually cloud computing.
What sort of surprises did you come up with? Because no project comes without some sort of surprises. What sort of surprises, what sort of unexpected outcomes did you come across, Kevin? Is there anything you can share with us there?
Yeah, well, I think that the intent, right, from the conception of it was really, and hence the name Answer Center, was really to solve traditional FAQs, and I don't like to call them FAQs, I like to call them kind of knowledge articles or answers, but that was the main intent of the solution originally. It's like, hey, we've got a lot of inquiries coming in, and we want, and the call center resources are restricted, and so we want to be able to deflect the information and deflect the calls right from the what we call tier zero, which is that self-help. And so that's how it started out, and then it evolved, right? So if you look at kind of the evolution of it, when it started out, it had about 3,000 users, and it grew over time throughout the 2000. So if you look at December 12th, 2007 through the end of the campaign, you know, it grew from 3,000 users to nearly 2 million. And so in its time, it evolved with what it was capable of doing and what they wanted to do with it. And so while it was, you know, the initial challenge was just get the answers up and running, we did that in 7 days, they started to add features and functionality as the system came on board.
So that's quite impressive. And also to be able to be handling that through the cloud, that is quite a lot of bandwidth, isn't it?
Yes, and so it's just one of the proof points, right, that software as a service can scale. In fact, the investment that software as a service companies, cloud computing companies make in the infrastructure compared to someone that's got to stand up their own little project is 10 times, right? So for someone to mirror our infrastructure without being a major multi-billion or even a billion-dollar program, it's near impossible. And so we're leveraging the resources globally within all our data centers around the world. And so we could pull on capacity of the servers and the infrastructure as needed. And so as the users scale, we're easy to just add the infrastructure to support it.
Right. With respect to adding in other clients and giving yourself references to other clients, that's got to count for a fair bit, hasn't it?
Yes, yes. So it was, once Obama ran the campaign using our software, we get calls all the time in reference to other potential folks using it for their campaign, or even, example is Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She uses our software now for Ask the Secretary. And so you could send her an email, you could send her a text message, or you could use her version of the Answer Center to interact with her. And so it kind of bled over to other organizations, Department of State, for example, based on our success with the Obama campaign.
Okay, let's stop right there if we can for a moment, because you said send her a text message. So you're actually also interfacing to the cell phone network and picking up SMSs as well.
That's correct. So the system, multi-channel is important, right? So people want to interact on the channel or the medium that they're used to. And so some people like to text, some people like to go to the web, some people like to pick up the phone. And so the Department of State wanted to make sure that they could push out as many channels as possible. And so the important message is they're not stovepipe channels. It all comes into the Central Knowledge Foundation, mm-hmm. and that allows the answers to, be consistent. Two, it allows organizations to do feedback and to do kind of analysis on what's coming in. And this was pretty important in the Obama campaign as well as in the Department of State. And so, for example, if you look at the Obama campaign, things that were being asked that you may not think to populate your knowledge articles with. So, for example, top three questions for Obama was, is he a Christian? Would Obama say the Pledge of Allegiance in school, right? So there are some rumors that he was against saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And then the third most asked question is, where does he stand on various women's issues? And so those three things weren't populated from the start, but because of the Answer Center, in this case, where they were asking the questions, it was hitting the knowledge base. There was no answer at the time when it started off. And then so through the self-learning, it was able to give them the feedback that, hey, you've got 50% of the population asking if Obama's a Christian. You should make that an answer in your Answer Center.
Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it on the Gadget Grill that you've taken some time to spend with us and tell us a little of your story.
Not a problem. We appreciate your time as well.
Yeah, so do you want to send Hillary a text message, Lee?
Forgive Bill, he still loves you. You think she'll get that?
Probably not.
Very interesting stuff there. You can almost see parts of that, or I guess being copied and used when Rudd was going for Prime Minister as well, the emphasis on
although
social
Rudd
media
was before Clinton.
Oh, before Obama. No,
before
before Clinton, Dad.
Yes.
Before Obama.
I've got Clinton
on
my mind.
Yeah, you do. You've got Clinton on your mind. Are you wearing a blue dress today?
No, I'm not.
Okay. But you can almost see the same sort of thing, where even they saw that social media... Obama's was obviously a lot bigger. It had to be based on the amount of people you had to get rallied and supported.
But that ties in with what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Social media is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Does this essentially mean that Tony Abbott has to actually start impressing people and using social media to attract people?
Get out of the budgie smugglers.
Will we see
Tony
Abbott Twitter? Tat? Tit for tat? Tony Abbott Twitter?
Tony wants a Twitter.
Tony wants a Twitter? Tony
wants a Twitter.
I mean, I'm probably being too political for our show here, but did Twitter... Twitter. This is a cover. This is Jenny Owen Young's with Nelly's Hot in Here. I think this version's a lot better. 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ. This is The Gadget Grill with a gadget review. We're getting into it after that last. I like that version of the song, Hot and Hairy. Hot and Hairy.
Hot and Hairy.
The old Nelly song done by Jenny Owen Young. One of my favorite artists right now. Let's get into a gadget review. We've both got stuff from
ViewSonic,
who make a lot of really good monitors, but sadly nothing we have in here right now is a monitor.
Well, that's not a bad thing, because a monitor's hard to carry around with you. But what I've got in my hand is a little ViewSonic VOT132, which is a computer, a personal computer. And it is, I don't know exactly how to measure it. I don't think I can measure it with. But it's about
the same size.
It is about Wii size. It is smaller than your typical router modem.
It's actually smaller than the Wii.
And it is...
It's smaller than a book.
It is smaller than your typical book, and it is about the size of three iPhones put next to one another.
That's a strange way of looking at it, yeah. But okay.
Yeah, it is that tiny, but it's a fully fledged computer, just out of keyboard, mouse, and monitor. And you have it, and it's got six USB ports, HDMI.
Six?
Yep.
It's bigger, better than some of the desktops I reviewed this week.
DVI out, HDMI out, Ethernet out.
Give me that thing. I want to see how much it weighs.
SD card.
Give me it. Give.
Very little.
Be nice. Give me
it's
that.
It's got all the ports that you expect, and then some.
It
runs
got,
Windows 7 Home.
It does. It's even got this nice glossy finish. Oh, it's a sticker you haven't pulled off yet. It's a protective sticker.
Yes.
And it's got wireless, and it's got an HDMI port on there. It is an HDMI port.
HDMI and DVI.
That's quite cool. The only thing it's lacking is a DVD drive, which I hear you can...
There's an accessory DVD drive,
and it comes with a stand that you can put them next to each other.
That's right.
And they look extra, extra schmick.
And it takes absolutely no space on your desktop.
Or you can mount it under your desk. It takes a very small amount of space.
Yeah.
And you can have that back now.
Thank you. It is. I'm impressed with it. It's quite a nice little device.
Is it good?
I'm impressed with it. I would like to have one of these in the car as a car computer.
You should go ask you something.
Wire it into one of those and throw it in the back of the car and permanent computer in the car.
I, however, on the other hand, have been playing with a ViewSonic device called the VPD-400. God, that acronym sounds a lot like a sexually transmitted disease as well. It's not. It's actually a portable media player, which it even says so in the back by saying portable media player.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it does.
It must be a portable media player.
It must
then.
Be. You can translate to basically sounding like an iPod, except for the problem, it's not an iPod. It's got this really nice large screen. I think it's about 3 inches.
Three and a half inch,
yeah. And it's really cool, except that it's not touchscreen, and you kind of look at it going, this should be touchscreen, because it's so big and so...
All your controls are along the top.
Yeah, and your controls are in the top and like up, down, left, right, but it's so hard to really get your head around. It doesn't work.
It doesn't feel right. Wanting to have a touchscreen.
It works, but it doesn't. It's kind of wonky. It's got an interface that they say is intuitive, because it's intuitive, because Sony were technically the ones who designed it for their PlayStation 3 system.
Well, it's also similar. It reminds me a little bit of the Windows Media Player interface.
It is a... No, it's not...
Not Media Player, Media Center.
Media Center. It's not like it, really. It's more... It is a rip-off of Sony. I do like how it sounds. I like some of the features. Like, it technically supports FLAC and DivX files, which is cool. A lot of people still haven't gotten the hang of that. It's got dual microphones, it looks like, and speakers. We kind of found a couple of flaws. It puts FLAC right, but the sound quality is never going to be good enough for it. It has an infrared port at the bottom.
But no remote.
It comes with a remote, but there's no stand. So if you held it upright anyway...
So to use it, you can't actually... You'd need to have some sort of a mirror or something underneath it to make the infrared...
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's got flaws. The screen is... likes getting scratches and... Look, buy an iPod.
Okay.
If that was good, that your device was good, the ViewSonic.
Yes,
what's it called?
The VOT132 computer. It's about $900. Comes with a dual TV tuner, USB stick as well.
That's good.
And includes $100 a year subscription to Ice TV as well. So that's pretty good.
See,
for $900.
That's good. Whereas my ViewSonic VPD-400, which took me ages to turn on the other time, and I'm not going to bother now. Better luck next time, ViewSonic. It needs some work.
Okay. This is...
Snow Patrol with Workwear Shop. A very old-sounding track from them, but good nonetheless. Radio 2 RDJ. This is The Gadget Grill, the final A few minutes of the Gadget Grill before we get settled into, well, being a Sunday night. We can go home, we can relax, we can chill, we can think
about... Have a margarita.
Do you have tequila?
No.
Well...
Yes, I do.
Do you have margarita mix?
No, I don't. I do have lemons and limes.
Do you have the will and drive at 11 p.m. when we finally get home to make margarita?
No, I was going to get you to do it.
You're a lazy son of a bitch.
Yes,
you know
I
that?
Am.
You know, and we can go home. I was going to actually go somewhere with that. We can go home. We can think about what we're going to talk about next week on The Gadget Grill because, we only have, I think, I have to check, two. We only have two more Gadget Grills left before this year is over.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that special? So next week, we will be talking about last-minute gift items you can go get if you've been too lazy to go get presents. You know, you haven't gotten me a present for my birthday yet.
No, that's right.
Hanukkah?
Hanukkah. I'll get you a candle for Hanukkah.
Oh, how sweet. What about some matzah to go with it?
Some matzah?
Yeah, some matzah.
Wrong time of year.
It doesn't matter. It's Jewish.
There you go.
I have a clue.
Yes,
I'm a bad Jew. Jesus.
Literally. Oh, dear. What have you got in the way of a useless gadget for us this week, Lee?
Not much, actually. Do you have anything? I have useless boxes made by The Onion and whatnot. What do you have?
No, I don't have anything here in the way of a useless
Trust
gadget.
Trust you to not have anything.
No, but you were showing me that the reindeer...
I was. You can now actually accessorize your toilet, which is something kind of strange. You shouldn't really be able to... This is not a useless gadget. This is a useless home furniture thing.
It's a useless gadget.
Yeah, it's you can actually turn your toilet into Rudolph. Well, not so much Rudolph, but just every other reindeer. So Prancer... Dance,
just imagine where the red nose goes on that one.
Well, actually, there's a brown nose.
Describe it.
There's a brown nose there sits on top of the furry lid. But outside the furry lid, there are antlers that go on the actual...
Antlers go on the cistern.
Antlers go on the cistern. And the eyes and everything else goes on the... Actually, no, the eyes, nose, and the mouth goes on the cistern as a decoration. But then the little bouncy, puffy tail goes on the brown of the toilet cover.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's... kind of cool. Yeah. Does it sound like something that you really want?
I think I should go out and get three of them. One for each of our bathrooms.
Do we have three bathrooms?
Well, two at home and one for Studio P here.
Studio P?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, sure. Studio P.
Studio P.
Studio P. Right.
Yes.
We have Studio A, B, N, and P.
That's right.
Okay. Right.
I'll let you work that one out.
Yeah, I think I already know what it is.
Yes, you do. You spend a lot of time there.
I do not. Okay, well, I did find a useless gadget for you. I found you the peanut butter machine.
Okay.
Okay. It's a machine, and you get the choice, but it's pretty simple. It's basically a blender for your peanuts.
So it just chops up your peanuts and turns them into peanut butter.
Yeah, you get the choice between chunky and smooth, and apparently it just takes... it'll take any type of shelled nuts, so... macadamias, pistachios. It's
macadamia butter. That sounds nice.
It's $50. $50, and you can only get it in the UK, which means we could technically use it here.
Hang on. $50, but you buy it in the UK.
No, it's $50. That's the price this website has translated it into.
Oh.
But it is only available from a UK store at the moment.
Okay.
That sounds like a really cool gadget to get someone.
I think you should get me one of those for Christmas, along with the new Ferrari 458.
Along with the Epson RD2.
And the RD2,
along with
a
Leica M9.
That sounds reasonable.
Along with your Benz back from the shop.
Yes, hopefully this week. You are listening to Christian Scott.
Along with a Labrador Retriever.
Yes. And the track is Christina's Eyes. That's what we're going to take us out
of. No, it's Katrina's Eyes.
Katrina's Eyes. That's
what I said. The hurricane.
Yes. Christian Scott. You've been listening to 2RDJFM 88.1.
With a Kindle.
Yes. This is the Gadget Grill.
Along with a possible
he is
Sonic
Lee
laptop.
Stark. I am Gary Stark.
Along with candles.
We're going to be back next Sunday night
with
our pre-Christmas Gadget Grill. We're going to have some
along
really
with the
hot
Beatles rock band
last-minute presents for you.
Along with some new glasses.
We'll take you
along
out.
Along with some new jobs.
Cole Richardson will be along after
with
the
an
news
iPhone application
with
that can
some
be helpful.
Classical music for
I'll
you.
Shut up now.
And we'll take you out from the show tonight with Christian Scott and Katrina's Eyes.
Along with a bunch of presents he really needs. See you, Australia.